Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Chof Zayin, and we're holding the sixth line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Before we begin, let's just remember that yesterday we had a major machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, and you'll also recall, as Barry pointed out, as we saw in the Heilig Rashi, that Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda Brab Eloi, Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yechoi, and among other things, they were arguing about whether Royin Mumin Biyontiv. Can a Mumcha go and see a Mum on Yontiv? What was the Machloikis? Rashi explained based on two reasons, that Reb Shimon says you cannot be Royin Mumin, either because it's Nira Kimetakein, like Metakein Mana, Tikun Mana, because you're fixing something. What are you fixing? Until now you could not eat from this Bechor because it had the status of a Bechor Tam, which unfortunately now that there's, at this time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, hopefully soon to be rebuilt, but as long as there is no Beis HaMikdash, you cannot eat a Bechor Tam. You have to wait until it gets a Mum, but you cannot determine whether it has a Mum on your own. You have to have the blessing of the Mumcha. So if the Mumcha is going to decide on Yom Tov that this is a Bechor Bal Mum, you'll be able to eat from it where you could not eat it previously. And that's what we call Tikkun Mana, and that's one of the grounds why Reb Shimon says, Ein Royin Mum Biyamtiv. And the second reason, says Rashi, is because it's Nira Kidon Din. We're going to have later on in the Masechta that the Bezdin doesn't sit on Yamtiv to be Dan Din, and therefore, since this is a major decision, not anybody, not any Tom, Dick, and Harry can make this decision. You have to be a real big mumcha. And that's why, says Reb Shimon, you cannot do that on Yom Tov. Okay, so, halacha lemaisa, you're a mumcha. Can you or can you not paskin the status of a Bechor Balmum on Yom Tov? And that's what the Gemara is going to talk about for the entire Amud Aleph. And we're going to have a number of stories. First story is Reb Yehuda Nesia. Reb Yehuda Nesia, as you'll all recall, is not Reb Yehuda Nasi. This is an enikel of Reb Yehuda Nasi, of Reb Yehuda Nasi. And the reason why the Gemara refers to him as Reb Yehuda Nasi is to distinguish between Reb Yehuda Nasi, the Tana, that's Rebbe Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who codified the Mishnayos, and Reb Yehuda Nasi, who was an enikel, who was an Amoidim. Anyway, Havalei Hahu Bukhra, he had a Bechor, and we wanted to determine whether this Bechor was a balmum, and therefore whether it was edible, or whether it was a tam, and it was not edible. And the obvious question is, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia was not a koyin. He was from the Beis HaNasi, all that came from Shevet Yehuda. The Yosser Shevet Yehuda u'machoyki b'bein raglov. The Shevet Yehuda had the exclusive right to the kings and to the Nesiyim, and that being the case, what is Rabbi Yehuda Nesia doing with a Bechor? And this is not my question. This is already a question that's bothering Rashi. So if you look at Rashi, about five lines lower than where we are in the Gemara, Rashi says, I have havalei hahu bukhra, v'hoyu loy bebeisoy koyhanim smuchen al shulchanoy v'oichlen b'choyres. This is not for Rabbi Yehuda Nesia himself. He had in his household a number of koyhanim who were smuch al shulchanoy that regularly ate at his table. And if Rebbe were able to go and offer them b'choyr balmum flesh, number one, this would be one of the matnas kahuna, so then they'd be delighted they're getting a matnas kahuna. But perhaps even more importantly, then we wouldn't have to go and use chulin meat. We could finally use this bechor balmum, and we could feed it to the kahanim. So therefore, the Gemara says Rabbi Nesia had this bechor. It could be that he had it because he didn't have an opportunity yet to give it to the kohen. You're supposed to give your Bechor to the Kohen within 30 days or 90 days, so maybe it's still within that time period. Or it could be that it doesn't really mean Rabbi Yehuda Nesia had the Bechor, rather, but one of the Kahanim that was Samach al Shulchanoi had the Bechor, and Rabbi Yehuda Nesia was in charge, and therefore he had this Bechor. We had to decide, yes or no, is it a Bechor Balmum, or is it a Bechor Tam? And Shadr al-Khamid Rabami sent it in front of Ram'ami on Yontif. So now Reb Ami has a big shaila. Do I paskin like Reb Yehuda, or do I not paskin like Reb Shimon? And what did Reb Ami promptly do? Sovart l'el mechzayah. He thought, I'm not going to go and view this Bechor today. It's Yontif. Reb Shimon says you're not allowed to. I'm not going to start up with Reb Shimon. So Reb Ami did not want to see the Bechor. Only Reb Zerika be same Reb Yirmiyah. Reb Zerika or Reb Yirmiyah said to Reb Ami, I don't understand you. We have a rule throughout Shas, not just here, but throughout Shas, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, halacha k'Reb Yehuda, we pass like Reb Yehuda. And therefore, if we pass like Reb Yehuda, there's no problem. You can look and be matir the Bechor today, even though it's Yontif. But apparently, and as we'll see from the bottom of the Gemara, Reb Ami continued to refuse to go and view the Bechor, and so therefore they decided, let's move on to the next mumcha. Shadre, hoder shadre, the kamid Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. So they took the Bechor in front of Yitzchak Nafcha to ask him, nu vojokt here. So about the Leila Machzai, and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha also did not want to see the Bechor on Yontif, again because of the same concern that we paskin like Reb Shimon. And again, omole Reb Yirmiyah, the same Reb Zerika, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, halacha k'Reb Yehuda, we paskin like Reb Yehuda, not like Reb Shimon. Omole Reb Abba, so Reb Abba now addressed Reb Yirmiyah or Reb Zerika, and he says, "My taima lo shavka sinu l'rabbanan l'mebet of the Reb Shimon. Why does it bother you if these rabbis, Reb Ami and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, do not want to look at the Bechor because they want to be machmir like Reb Shimon? Okay, I mean they're entitled to be machmir. So why does that bother you?" Omole, so now Reb Zerika answered back, "The atma b'yadcha, nu unvos halt here. What's your view?" Amale, so Reb Abba told him, "Hachi am Reb Zera. This is what I heard in the name of Reb Zera. Halacha k'Reb Shimon. That even though normally Reb Yehuda v'Reb Shimon halacha k'Reb Yehuda, in this case I heard halacha is like Reb Shimon. That's what I heard in the name of Reb Zera. And therefore, if Reb Zera said halacha k'Reb Shimon, so then Reb Ami and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha wanted to follow Reb Zera and paskin like Reb Shimon, and they didn't want to look at the Bechor. So Omer Mandahu, Rashi says, Mandahu is an anonymous Amoira or Talmud that was sitting around there at that time, and he wanted to know, I see this is a very heated topic, a hot topic, is it Reb Yehuda, is it Reb Shimon, is it Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda? The only one that we have quoted now as the source is Reb Zera, who says, Halacha k'Reb Shimon. You know, Omer Mandahu, one of the Talmidim, if you look in Rashi, two lines below where we're holding in the Gemara, Omer Mandahu, Echemin HaTalmidim, Mishahu, V'loinoy D'Shemay. We don't know who this Talmid was. It was one of the Talmidim. But what did he say? Back to the Gemara, second wide line, Aski is from Loshen, as Esker, I hope to merit to have the schus, the Esak Lahasim, to go up to Eretz Yisrael, where Reb Zera is, and I'm going to ask Reb Zera, what's the halacha? Just to make sure. They didn't have emails in that time, and they didn't have faxes, they didn't have telephones, they didn't have WhatsApps, they didn't have all of these media stuff, so they weren't able to, or any of these communications, so they didn't know what does Reb Zera really hold. They heard that Reb Zera said, Allah, Reb Shimon, Mandu said, Eski, I hope to be Zocha, the Esak Lahasim, I'm going to go up to Eretz Yisrael, the Agma Lishmaitzim, the Pume, the Mora, and I'm going to hear directly from Reb Zera himself, what does he hold? Okay, so this Mandu, Kisolik Lohasim, when he got there to Israel, Ashkel Reb Zera, oh, Baruch Hashem, he found Reb Zera. Omalei, and he asked him, Omamar, Halacha k'Reb Shimon, is it true that you said when it comes to the halacha of Royin Mumin Bebechoyris on Yontif, is it true that you pass like K'Reb Shimon that it's Osur? Omalei, Loi, I never said Halacha k'Reb Shimon. What I did say, Anomistavra Amri. I said, in all likelihood, in all probability, I'll be svara. It's logical to follow Reb Shimon. Why is it so mistaver? But it's only masisa, because it says in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Oimer, Kosha ein mumay nikir baboy joim ein zem min hamuchan. That was the lashon of the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Uktanu la b'braisa, when this was repeated in the braisa, it no longer referred to it as Reb Shimon, but they referred to him as b'lashon chachamim. Now, where was that braisa that we referred to b'lashon chachamim? So if we turn back here to Chof Vav Amid Beis, unless you're using an art scroll, you don't have to turn any pages. If it's an art scroll, you probably have to turn at least two or three pages. And you'll see the Gemara begins V'haki Osir of Oishia. Where's V'haki Osir of Oishia? It is about 40% of the... it's easy to find. The line before it has a small aleph of the Bach in parentheses, where the Bach adds the word who, know that who umumi imai. Skip down to the next line. And remember, Aboishia's brises are brises that have a great degree of reliability and authenticity. And what did Aboishia say? Also, the Aisim Asisa Biyadar Aboishia brought a brise. A bench noilid by mum, the Arab Yontif, bench noilid by mum, the Yontif, Chachamim Oimrim, Ein Zem Min Hamuchan. Now, who used that expression, Ein Zem Min Hamuchan? That's Reb Shimon that we just quoted from our Mishnah. But here in the price it doesn't say Reb Shimon. It says Chachamim Oimrim. And so therefore Reb Oishia apparently is attributing the Chachamim to what Reb Shimon said. So that means either that Reb Oishia wanted to paskin like Reb Shimon, and therefore he gave him the title Chachamim, not just one sage, but many sages, many Chachamim together. Or in fact, Reb Oishia found out that there were other Chachamim that agreed to Reb Shimon. So this is not Reb Shimon just a lone wolf on his own, but in fact there are other Tanoim that hold like Reb Shimon. And therefore, says Reb Zeira, it's mistaver in all likelihood to halachis taka like Reb Shimon. Because I see that Reb Oishia refers to Reb Shimon as the Chachamim. And therefore, says Reb Zeira, although I'm not saying halacha lemaisa, I'm saying it's mistaver. Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. We're on the sixth of the wide lines. So, bottom line is, as you can see, once again, this is a very hot issue. We have Reb Ami and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha that both said, I'm not going to view the Bechor today because of the case, sixth line, Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, sixth wide line. We have both Reb Ami and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha that did not want to see the Bechor on Yontif. We had Reb Yehuda Nasiya that apparently felt it was not a problem. We had Reb Zrika, the same Reb Yirmiyah, that felt that it was not a problem. And then we came across that Reb Abba asked, why are you so upset that they want to paskin like Reb Shimon? And he said, well, Reb Zeira said halach Reb Shimon, but we just discovered Reb Zeira didn't say the halach is Reb Shimon, but only mistavik Reb Shimon. So frankly, one of my havilah, tell me, what's the bottom line? Can a mumcha go and view a bechor bizman hazeh on yontif or not? It's Omer of Yosef Toshima. Let's try to be poshit. It says in the braisa, the talia be ashli ravavi. I don't know if it's the braisa. It looks like it's a braisa. The talia be ashli ravavi. Did this shayla already depends on the word ashli ravavi is a Talmudic expression. Rashi says it means chavolim Gedoilim Vigasim. If you want to see the Rashi, 6-7 lines before the wide lines. Ashli means ropes, Ravavi means big ones, strong ones. Chavolim Gedoilim Vigasim, Shekoshim Linote Kloimar. Chachom Gedoilim Amruha, Veinoichim Abatel Devreim. We're talking about some of the top guns among the great Talmudic giants, great Chachomim, and it's difficult to go against their holy words. So, what is this? What did the Ashli Ravavi, these great giants, say? The Omer Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Reb Shimon ben Levi, Omer Reb Yosef ben Shol, Omer Rebbe, Mishum Kihila Kadisha Dibrishalayim. Kihila Kadisha Dibrishalayim means earlier Tanoim, even before Rebbe's time. What did they say? They said Reb Shimon v'chaveir of Omru halacha k'Reb Meir. They said Reb Shimon and his chaveirim paskin like Reb Meir. Now it's not clear who the Reb Shimon is. Rashi says Reb Shimon that we're referring to is Reb Shimon ben Menasya. That's the next Rashi. Epshim Menasi v'chaverov. Oisin she'omar alein hari omru ein royin mumen biyontif. Who is this Reb Shimon ben Menasi that we are talking about? We go back to Chof Vov Omud Aleph. We had that again yesterday's blot. Chof Vov Omud Aleph. Three lines from the bottom of the Omud. In the middle of the Braisa, three lines from the bottom. Reb Shimon ben... Oh! Reb Shimon ben Menasi, you see? What did Reb Shimon Menasi say? Hari Omru, they said, Ein royin mumen beyontiv. You cannot go and view mumen on yontiv. Now, who are these Hari Omru people? So Rashi said, Hari Omru, these are Rabbi Seinu, Doire Shilofaneinu. The Rashi on the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Aleph, the last two narrow lines. Omle Reb Shimon Menasi Hari Omru Rabbi Seinu Dori Shulufanenu Ein Royin Mumen. Who is that? That's Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi. That's Reb Shimon of our Mishnah. Stam Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi. He's the one that said as nisht. And this Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi points out Rashi back on Chovov Amud Aleph was from an earlier generation. In fact, two generations before, at least one generation before. Why? Because Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi was the Rebbe of Rebbe. See the next line of Rashi, Rebbe Talmidoi Hoya. Rebbe was a Talmud of Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi. And Reb Shimon Menasseh spoke about Rebbe in great terms. If you continue on the Rashi, Mesach the Shabbos, Amar Rebbe, Kishayinu Loimdim Toyda Eitzel Reb Shimon Bitkoya. Rebbe says, when we learn about Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi in the town of Tkoya, Hayinu Mal Leishemen, V'komalei Reb Shimon Menasseh L'Rebbe, Reb Shimon Menasseh said about Rebbe, Hari Nechlechu Bo, period. So Reb Shimon Menasi is now referring to Rebbe and referring to Reb Shimon ben Bar Yechoi. So Reb Shimon ben Menasi was a contemporary of Rebbe. How do we know that Reb Shimon Menasi was a contemporary of Rebbe? Because this Braisa that we are quoting, Reb Shimon Menasi, go back three, four lines earlier again on Chof Vav Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, B'char Tam Shenafal Abar, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi Oimer. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, of course, is Rebbe. He said, Yerim Humcha Anitin, go and see. And then, two lines later, Reb Shimon Menasseh, Amar Leh Reb Shimon Menasseh, Reb Shimon Menasseh said to Rebbe, so obviously they are contemporaries, Hari Amru, Ein Roi Mum Yat. Who is this Hari Amru? This Hari Amru says, Ashi, that's Reb Shimon Bar Yechai, from Doide Shalifanein. Aha. So now returning to our Gemara here in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, again this long list of Choshiva Amiroim, Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Reb Shimon ben Levi, Reb Shimon Yosef ben Chol, Omer Rebbe, now we're talking about the era of the Tanoim, Mishab Kilagadesh Yerushalayim, this is already an, even an earlier door than Rebbe, they said Reb Shimon v'chaveirav Omru, they said Reb Shimon v'chaveirav said, and who's this Reb Shimon v'chaveirav? Zot Rashi, this is Reb Shimon ben Menasseh v'chaveirav. Why? Because of Omar Alein, he said about them, Hari Omru. So Rashi seems to be learning here on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph that the Hari Omru are Reb Shimon ben Menasseh's Chaverim. He said, my Chaverim, my contemporaries, all believe that Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi is right. However, based on the Rashi in Chav Vav Amud Aleph, the Hari Omru is not referring to Reb Shimon ben Menasseh's Chaverim, it's referring to Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi. From the Doyde Shalifanein. This is not my kasha, this is the Marsha's kasha on Rashi, that there seems to be an inconsistency in the Rashi between the Rashi here that says Reb Shimon Chaveirav is referring to Reb Shimon ben Nasi ben Chaveirav, or Reb Shimon bar Yoichoi, as we had back on Daf Chavav. Regardless, Lamaisa, what did all of these say? Again, this is Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Reb Shimon Levi, Omer Reb Shimon Chol. What did they say? They said that Reb Shimon v'chaveirav Amru halacha k'rabbi Meir. So what are the... We don't know what Reb Meir said yet. We're going to see that yet in a moment. But the Gemara first is wondering, Amru, they said that halacha k'shem Reb Shimon v'chaveirav halacha k'rabbi Meir. V'inu k'shishi minei tuva. You're talking about the Kehila Kadisha de Yerushalayim, which was a generation or more earlier than Rebbe, and you're talking now about Reb Shimon ben Menasseh, who's contemporary of Rebbe, would you expect that these earlier Tanoim should go and say, By the way, the new generations, they paskin like Reb Meir, and so therefore we should also paskin like Reb Meir. It's usually the young Rabbanim who will look to the elderly sages or earlier generations and say, oh, the previous generation, if they paskin X, Y, and Z, we should follow in their footsteps. But here we seem to have a warped time clock. Here we're talking about earlier generations saying, oh, if the youngsters today are paskin like Reb Meir, and then it would appear Allah Reb Meir. Does that make sense? These are earlier Tanoim, they're much older, and therefore. Is that David Fishman posing a question? Because unfortunately, either as a result of the Amtrak or result of the mask or both, it did not come out clearly, so I'm not sure what you were asking. But I'm sure it was an excellent question, just I can't answer if I don't know what the question is. So maybe we could try to address it at the end of this year. But in the meantime, the Gemara says it doesn't seem to work in terms of the chronology. So Gemara, you're right. Change the Lashon a little bit. Not that they, the Kehillah Kadisha of Yerushalayim, which was an earlier generation, said, let's paskin like Reb Meir, because Reb Shimon v'Chaverot said halachik Reb Meir, but rather Ela B'shitas Reb Meir Amruha. What they were saying is that the young generation, Reb Shimon, either Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi or Reb Shimon Manasseh, they are paskining like Reb Meir. And Rashi says that this was something kind of standard. See, if you want to look at the Rashi, fifth wide line, Ela Hachi Omer Kehillah Kadisha. I'm looking at the fifth wide line of the Rashi. Middle of the line, Ela Hachi Omer Kehillah Kadisha. Reb Shimon Manasseh v'chaveriv she'omru ein royin mumin b'shitas Reb Meir amrua. They're not saying that that's the halacha. They're saying Reb Shimon Manasseh and his chaverim, they're saying, don't look at mumin on yontif, are paskening like Reb Meir. V'chein afshir, she'azikeinim nosnu datam al dibri habachurim. It's very possible, very likely, that the older zikeinim are listening to what the young new generation is saying, the Amru, and they are now critiquing what they said by saying Divrei Ploini Noitin Acher Divrei Rebbe Ploini Shahi Lefanav. What they're saying is what we just heard now from Reb Shimon Manasseh, or what we heard previously from Reb Shimon Bar Yechoi. They're saying that in the same shita, with the same approach, with the same viewpoint as Reb Meir, and this is standard. Apparently, they are trying to develop the new Talmidim, and they say to the Talmud in Shir, Yizeh Shein Gezot. You know, the svar that you just said now, you're mechaven to Chassam Sofer, Rebbe Akiva Eiger, to Reb Chaim Brisker, or what have you. So not that they are saying, yes, we paskin that way, because that's what the new generation is saying. Ah, come on, this is the new generation. Rather, they're saying that what Reb Shimon says, this sounds like what Reb Meir said. Now, what did Reb Meir say? Did not. That this is a person that did things backwards, because as we know, you're supposed to show the Bechor Tam to the Mumcha first, and if he paskins, yes, you can go and check, go ahead. This fellow, this Koyin, or this Shoichet, was so confident that it was a real Mum, he didn't ask any questions. He first shechted it, and then he said, you know what, let's be on the safe side, I'm going to ask the Mumcha already post-mortem, after the behemah had already been yishacht. And what happens if the mumcha says, yeah, it looks like a real bona fide mum to me? Rebuta said, then it's fine. For a mayor, oimer, hoyul benishchet shalei al pi mumcha. Since at the time of shechita you did not have a validated mum that had been validated by the mumcha, osir, you're not allowed to eat, period, end of discussion. So what do I see from that machloikas? Al makasover a meir reiyas bechor lav kereiyas treifa. We're now comparing two different halachas, checking whether a bechor is a balmum or not, or checking whether a regular animal that was geshachted is it a treifa or not. You cannot equate those two. Why not? Reiyas bechor mechay. Reiyas bechor has to be when the animal is still alive. Reiyas treifa liachas shchita. Typically, you check all of the avarim, you check the heart, you check the lungs, you check all the innards. When do you do that? after Shechita. You can't go and check most of those before Shechita. I mean, you could do at least an outward, exterior bedika on treifas, because treifas are not only internal organs, treifas could also be from the outside. But he's saying the ikker of the checking is la'achramisa, la'achashchita, I should say. Umina, and let's go and infer from that statement, the re'iyas treifa filo biyontif, re'iyas treifa can be done even on yontif post-shchita, because since we allow for shchita on yontif, obviously after the shchita is over on yontif, go and check it out before you eat it. You have to make sure it's not a treifa. On the other hand, re'iyas bechar, which we're saying is fundamentally different than re'iyas treifa, that has to be the me'er of yontif, from before yontif. And this person didn't wait, he didn't do it on Erev Yontif, but rather he shechted it on Yontif itself. And he brings it to the Mumcha, now post-Shechita, says the mayor, no good. Since it was Nishchat Shaloi Alpi Mumcha, it's Asur. That's the end of the discussion. So now the Gemara is trying to extrapolate from Remeir's view that this is fundamentally different than Re'iyas Treifa, that this is a major, major thing. This is not your daily shaila that you ask the Rav, is this animal kosher or not? This is a once in a lifetime, vis-a-vis this Bechor Tam or Bechor Balmum. It is certainly once in a lifetime, because either you shecht or you don't shecht. You're never going to have, well, you could have multiple mumens during its life, but point is that a mum that will be sufficient to allow you to go and check it, that's a one-time thing. And therefore Rashi says, we're talking about a dover choshev, that it's a chashivusa. And since it's a dover choshev, that's the reason why you cannot see it on yontif. You had to have viewed it from erev yontif. Oh, so therefore it sounds like Reb Meir holds like Reb Shimon, and therefore, when we said that Reb Shimon ben Manasseh v'chaverov or Reb Shimon bar Yechoi v'chaverov are all going in accordance with Reb Meir, that's the Reb Meir we're talking about. That Reb Meir also considers Re'iyas Bechor to be such a davar chashuv, you cannot see it on Yontif, because if you see it on Yontif, you have the potential problem of number one, you're being metaken mona. Tikkun Mana, as we know, is one of the 39 malachas, because if this Bechor until now was not edible, not shechtable, and now he's saying you can shecht it, so he's being metaken it, he's saying kusha. Or, like Rashi said, it could be a problem of don es hadin, that a bezin is not allowed to go and sit and decide decisions on yontif, and even though this is not a bezin, but it's a mumcha, not a hedjit, you can't just go and ask anybody, any rabbi, you have to have a great expert, a godel, to go and paskin. So therefore, it would appear, says the Gemara, that we paskin taka like Reb Shimon, because that's what the Kehillah Kaddishah Yerushalayim said, that Reb Shimon is following the footsteps of Reb Meir, and apparently we paskin like Reb Meir, and therefore, that's the halacha, ein royin mumin biyontif. But one second, Omer Abaye, who said, atu hasim b'royin mumin pligi, b'knasa pligi, the machloik is between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, is not halacha legabe whether you're allowed to go and be royin mumin biyontif. Their machloikis is legabe knasa pligi. What is the knas? So on the surface, before we continue, it would appear, what means knas? Since the chachamim hold that you can only shecht a bechor bal mum after it is seen by a mumcha, if you were trigger happy and you shechted this carbon before showing it to a mumcha, we put a penalty on you. We said, what you did is wrong, and we don't want to encourage you or others to do that. So if you shechted without showing it to a mumcha, no good. That's the inyan of kenas. Obviously, then it has nothing to do with re'iyas bechor biyontif or erev yontif. Anytime you go and shecht the bechor without showing it to a mumcha, kenas. So it has nothing to do with the dover choshuv, and therefore you have no raya whether or not you're allowed to go and view the bechor on yontif or not. Now that's the simple pshat. The problem, however, is that the Gemara doesn't talk about knas; it now talks about gezeira. The Omer Rava Bar Vachana Omer Reb Yoichanan bedoikin shibayin kuli alma loy pligi di asur mishum de mishtanim. Rabbi Barchon is saying the name of Rabbi Yochanan. You know why you cannot go and check out the Bechor la'achar misa? It's very simple. Let's think about the mum that we're talking about. If the mum is doikin shiba'ayin, some people say is a cataract, but it means something in the eyes. If after you've shechted the behemoth, you look in the eyes and you say, you see, the eyes are green, blue, yellow, orange, black, whatever. You see that's a bal mum, that is not a riot. Because as a result of the post-mortem, as a result of the animal dying, as a result of the shechita, the doikin shiba'ayin changes shape, form, color. And therefore, no riot. Could very well be that this animal is a real strong tam, but you look now at the eyes, it looks like a bal mum, but that's no riot. So that everybody would agree to, that if you're basing your psak on doikin shiba'ayin, you cannot eat from that bechor. Oh, any other type of mum, for instance, a broken foreleg or broken hind leg, where it's established that this is not a mum oiva, this is a permanent mum, this animal will never recuperate. Ah, in such a case, if I'm going to allow the mumcha to decide the mum shebeguf, even though these are the types of things that are not mishtane as a result of the animal being geshachten, the animal had a broken hind leg, which the experts determined is irrevocable, irreversible, it's a mum kavua, for that, even if the animal is geshachten, it wouldn't make a difference one way or the other. The same hind leg is going to remain exactly in the same formation, broken. However, they made a gzeira otamum shva'ayin, that if we're going to allow a mumchet to go and be boidik, la'achar misa li'achar shchita, a mum shva'guf, that he might come next time to go and be boidik, a mum shva'ayin. This doesn't sound like a knasa, a knas. This sounds like a bona fide gzeira. I'm afraid that people will confuse one mum with the other, and therefore, that's why the mayor was very strong. Hoyo v'nishchet shalei al pi mumchet, it's awesome. So not because of the knas per se, but really because of exam. So the art scroll asks this kasha and says, "Ayin b'pnei Yeshua in the Svasemes, some soifer, a whole bunch of achrayim. I didn't have available to me last night any of those svarim. So you have to look up how they are able to answer with the Gemara. Initially says that it's a knas, and now says that it's a exam. Could be that they answer that the Gemara is using the term somewhat loosely." In other words, beside Ikradin, you're allowed to be Royan Mumcha, Royan Mum of a Bechar on Yontiv. All that Reb Meir is saying is that if it was not seen on Yontiv, it's Asur. It's because of a Gzeira, because of a Knas, but nothing not me Ikradin. Ikradin, you would be allowed to see it on Yontiv. So bottom line is we don't have a Raya, once again, to our Halacha, whether you're Royan Mum or not Royan Mum. Reb Yudis Avalei goes in, Reb Yudis says there's no Knas, there's no Gzeira. So what's the halacha? We still don't know. Omer of Nachman Yitzchak, Masisa Nami Deka, what we just heard now in the name of Abaye, that Abaye said, don't bring me a raya from the fact that Kila Kadesh Rabbi Yishlayim said that Reb Shimon V'Chaveri would learn like Reb Meir, that it must be that the inyan of Re'iyas B'choir Mumen is so choshev that it's also to do on Yontif, and that's why the mayor said, and if you had the Chochem look at it, it's no good, it's Asur. No. Rabbi is right. The mayor has nothing to do with Re'iyas Bechor on Yontif. Rather, Masis Namideke Diktani, let's look back at that Mishnah that we quoted. Remeir Oimer Hoyu Venishcha Chaloi Alpi Mumcha Asur. Because of the fact that you shechted this without showing it to a mum, to a mumcheh, prior to the shechita, we're going to throw the books at you. Shema mino knasahu dekakonis. It's a knas. Shema mino. And therefore, once again, this really has nothing to do with our shaila, or the royin mumin on yontif or not. We had assumed that the reason why Reb Meir says that it's osir is because this is a dover choshim ma'oy. This is not like just looking at a behemoth, whether it's treif or not, being bodik, the lungs, or the heart, or the kidneys, or whatever, to determine if there was some perforation, some Dreyfus. Then, of course, you could even ask that about that on Yom Tov, because every time you go and shecht on Yom Tov, you have to go and show the expert in Shechita and in Tarfis, is this behema treif or not? So this could happen every single Yom Tov. Vashenker a b'chor tam, I would have thought a b'chor tam or questionable mum. The Reb Meir is saying that's fundamentally different than a rias treifa. And if it's fundamentally different, that sounds like don't do it on Yom Tov. And that's why Reb Meir said, if you shecht, shleil b'mumcha, it's also. But the Gemara concludes, no raya from that whatsoever. Abaye said it has nothing to do with Royan Mumin. It has to do whether there's either the gzeira mishum toikin shabayin or mishum knas. Shmamina. So Rabbi, we're back to square one. Are you or are you not allowed to be Royan Mumin on Yom Tov? Zokti Gemara. Ami Vardino, Ami that either came from the town of Vardain, or Rashi says Vardino means that he was a very handsome person and that his face shone almost like he had a rosy complexion. So if you look at Rashi, two lines from the bottom, Ami Vardino, Noya Hoya, he was a very handsome individual, Vashem Vrodim Hoya Nikra, and he was called Vardino from the word Vered. Vered, as we know, means a rose. So he must have had a rosy complexion. However, Rashi says, Alinirami Oyusam Mokim Shishmo Vardina. He came from a place called Vardina. And so therefore, nothing to do with his being handsome or not. But what about this Ami Vardino? Says the Gemara, Chozi Bukhra de Beinasiya Hava. His job was, presumably he had other jobs too, but one of his positions was that he was the Roya HaBachar in the Beis HaNasi. He was the official Mumcha. You had a Shaila and a Bachar, you came to Ami Vardana. Yoymetova lo yahavachasi. On Yom Tov he refused to go and take any Kehanim with Bachar Tams, Bachar Mums. He said, forget about it, I'm not going to view them today. So also v'omrlei l'Rabbi Ami. They told Rabbi Ami what Ami Vardino was doing, and they asked him, do you agree or do you disagree? Amalahu, Shapir Ka'ovid, Duloy Chazi, he's doing the right thing. And remember, this is Rabbi Ami Lishitasai, because we started off today's Gemara on the sixth line from the top. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Havalei Hahu Bukhra, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia had a Bukhar. Presumably he first showed it to Ami Vardino, and Ami Vardino says, sorry, I'm on vacation today, it's Yom Tov, I'm not looking at it. Shada the Kamid Rab Ami and Sovid Loy Lamachzaya. Rab Ami already at the top of the Amud told us, I'm not going to look at this Bechor on Yom Tov, I'm concerned about the Psak of Rab Shimon. The Rab Shimon says, Ein Royan Mumin be Yom Tov. So Rab Ami now restates this once again, reconfirms his position. He said, Ami Vardino did the right thing, Shapir Ka'ovid Loy Chazi. Frank Timor, is that right? Ain't he? But we have a record of Rabbi Ami Gufe Chazi. There was a real life story. We have a whole bunch of Edom that tell us that Rabbi Ami did look at and did decide the case of a Bechor Balmum on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, you only heard half of the story. Rabbi Ami Ki Chazi Mi Aswal Hava Chazi. Rabbi Ami actually viewed the Bechor on Erev Yom Tov. But Erev Yom Tov, as you know, is a very busy time. They came to him twice, a half an hour before Yom Tov. He said, okay, I took a look. Come back to me tomorrow. We'll go through the Psak Halacha. I don't have time now. I still have to do my agar on the lulav. I just got my arogas. I have to stick it into the koshiko. I still have to move the schach a little bit over there. We still have to go and prepare this for you. Chonishka Zeit. Come tomorrow morning, right after Musaf. We'll sit down and we'll discuss it. You see the top Rashi on the left hand margin. He's just poshim was too busy. He said, "Lech achshav, do me a favor, go home, and come back tomorrow." What is he going to do tomorrow? I mean, if all he was going to go and say yes mum nishmum, he could tell him on the spot. But as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, says Rashi, the next morning he would start asking them a drish of chakira. How did this mum occur? Mumen don't happen on their own. It's not a meteor that came from outer space, hit the animal in the head, and boom, we have a mum. No, al mum. Unfortunately, the kahanim were choshud to go and inflict
a mum kidnan kol mum in roi in love with bidei adam roi Yisrael ne'amonim roi kahanim ein ne'amonim. If you have a kohen who's a shepherd and he says, "Oi, this animal got a mum," you don't believe him. Tzarich lahavi edim shemei'ela bala. You have to go and prove that it happened naturally and this was not under some sort of subterfuge that the kohen caused this mum to occur. As we've spoken out many times, whenever you have a kohen that has a behema b'chor bizman hazeh, until the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, halavai still today, until that point in time, it's a wasting asset because you're not allowed to do anything with it except feed it and let it go until it gets a mum. What happens if the animal doesn't have a mum for 20 years? You've spent over the time hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars feeding this animal, and you can't go and shecht it because it's a tam, it's not a mum. So therefore, all the kahanim were choshud on somehow creating a mum, as the Gemara will describe in another moment. So, bottom line is, what the Gemara is telling us is, Reb Ami was very, very strict. He never saw a mum on Yontif. You're telling me that Edom say that they did see Reb Ami decide? Yes, he decided Mumen on Yontif. However, the vision, he viewed it, the viewing always took place on Erev Yontif. So if you want to be Yontif, Shiuli, Kot Mishael, Hechi Av Uvda, and in the morning he would ask them, tell me what were the background facts. And the Gemara tells us a real life story with Rava. Rava was also an expert on Mumin. So a person brought his Bechor before Rava, Apanya Demali Yom Yitova, Hava, and it was shortly before Yontif, it was Erev Yontif late in the day. Havi Yosef Rava Kachai Freshe, Rava at that time apparently was right after taking a shower or something, he was scratching his head. Doli Eine, and he heard somebody was knocking on the door, bringing in a behema. He picked up his eyes, V'chazi L'mume, he looked at the mum, and Omalein, he said to the koyin or the shliach that was bringing this bechor, Zila Idna V'tolamachar. Okay, Zayt Kizund, please go home and come back tomorrow morning. When he came the next day, Omar, so Rava asked him, Hechi Avi, can you tell me exactly what was the situation? What was going on? Omalis, he told him, Have Shadyon Sari, excuse me, Bachgisa de Hutza. Hutza is a means thorns, and here specifically we're talking about a fence which is made out of thorns. And he says, on the other side of the fence, Shadyon Sari. Sari is from Loshon Sa'ira, barley. There was barley on the floor on the other side of this thorn fence. Va'vi'ihu, and the Bechor was be'idachki, so was on the other side, meaning on our side. And the Bechor saw this item and said, those look delicious. Is Bahari de Boyle Mechel, as the Bechor wanted to eat from those item, it stretched out his neck either on top of or through holes in the fence, Ayil Reshe inserted its head, Uparte Hutalisfusa, and you know what happened? It's incredible! One of the thorns went and split the Sfosayim, the lips of the Bechor, and Rashi says that is a bona fide mum, and therefore this Bechor is Bechor Bamum. Rava smelled a problem over here. Omalei Dilma at Karamtalei. How did it happen? Pinked. There was Sa'irim on the other side, and your animal smelled this Sa'irim, came to the other, to this side of the thorn bush, or the thorn fence, couldn't get over to the other side, so it stuck its head out, and then it got a cut in its lip. Tell me, maybe at Karamtalei, maybe you were the one that spread out those Sa'irim on the other side of the Hutza fence so that the animal should go and have this inflicted wound. Did you have anything to do with it? Omalei, and the person said, Loi, I had nothing to do with it. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us whether Rava believed him or didn't believe him, but what we do have from the Rashi that we quoted earlier, at the end of that Rashi, Tzarich lahavi edim shema'elim boloi, if the mumcha suspects that there is foul play, that maybe this was a self-inflicted wound, then you have to bring edim. So either he brought edim or he didn't bring edim, but that's the end of the story. And therefore when we said about Rav Ami, he decided on Yantav, he taka decided, but he saw the Bechor the day before on Erev Yontif. Now the question of the Gemara is, we not tamed the Grama, so who said that there's a problem with Grama? I can understand, don't inflict the wound, but if this is a Grama, they put the Sa'im on the other side of the fence, who said that that's offensive? Who said that that's a problem? Every Gemara, I'll tell you, the sign is a brisa. It says in the pasuk, "Kol mum lo yeboy." This is a pasuk that's quoted here in the Torah. Or Ish ki Yaakov zevach shlam laHashem lefali ned under the double vaker vaytzayin. Tomi yilrotzayin kol mum lo yeboy. And the Gemara darshins elsewhere, not here, but Rashi quotes it, that when it says lo yeboy, it means lo yahayeboy. Not only that this bechor is not allowed to have a mum, you're not allowed to inflict a wound. Presumably the drash of Chazal is based on the fact that the pasuk otherwise is repetitive. Because it says, tomim yi l'rotzei. It's got to be a tam. And of course if it's a tam, kol mum l'yiyabai. Why does it have to say l'yiyabai? It comes to tell you, l'yiyabai, l'yahayabai, a kohen is not allowed to go and make a mum in this animal. So the more dash, tisani mum l'yiyabai, eili ele shaloi yiyabai. Yahayibay mum. That's only Yahayibay mum means don't allow for the kohen or anybody else to go and take a knife or a blunt object and hit the bechor so that it gets a mum. I would think that that's the only isur Yahayibay. Don't make a mum. I mean, actually, yigram loy ayyidei dover acher. How do you know you're not allowed to even make a groma? Now, what type of groma? We already had one case. You have the se'odim on the other side of the fence. But I can give you even easier cases. That maybe the person will take a piece of batzek, some dough, or dveila, or from the either fig or the usually dried figs. You have igule dveila, like you have in the beginning of Eilu Metzias. So you have some dried figs. Go and take such a sticky fig and stick it to the oizen of the bechor. Why would you do that? Because you'll have a sniffing dog that lives a block away. It'll see this animal that has the batzek or dveila on the ear, and the kelev will say, that looks delicious. The kelev is going to rush over, going to take a bite in the ear of that bechor, and guess what? It's going to cause a mum. I didn't do it. The caliph did it, but I made a groma. How do I know that this groma is also aser? Tamaloyme, because the pasuk doesn't say just mum lo yahayaboy, but kol mum yahayaboy, lo yahayaboy. This kol mum tells you, omer mum yomer, kol mum to tell you that it's not just if you are actually inflicting the animal with a mum, but even being goreim is also asur. And that's the reason why Rava asked that line of questions. Maybe you were goreim this infliction of a wound on the animal. So the bottom line is, we only have that the Gemara concludes that Rav Ami validated Ami Vardanoa in not looking at a balmum on Yontif, because he felt like Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon says, Ein royin mum biyontif.
Since he didn't paskin, why isn't it called a din anyontif? Since just mutalach, he didn't say.
Uh-huh.
So why isn't that, if it's out tikkumonif, we understand, but it's out psak, why shouldn't that be a psak?
Even tikkumonif, he doesn't say anything from erev yontif.
That's not a tikkumonif, it's a riyabalman.
So, Rabbi, I don't know if you're hearing you on the, all of those wonderful participants on the Zoom at 10 to 7 in the morning. I don't know if you've heard the wonderful question that was just posed by Inzera Taira Chaver, Reb Tzion Zal Zayin Gesund. For those of you that don't know who Reb Tzion Rose is, Reb Tzion Rose is a Talmud of Reb Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh V'Brocha, and Reb Tzion Zalange Yorn Zal Gesund, and he's asking a wonderful, wonderful question. He said, according to Reb Shimon, if the problem of Royin Bechor is either because of Tikkun Man, or because the Bezdin is sitting and making a decision, so then what does it help that you saw the mum the day before? The implementation of that seeing is taking place on Yontif. And if the mumcha says, mutalach, number one, he has been metakin manam, because until now you couldn't eat from it. Or number two, by saying mutalach, it's the bezin making a decision. So l'choy, that should be the halachic equivalent of seeing the mum on Yontif. That's a wonderful, wonderful kasha. Off the top of my head, I don't have a decisive teretz. I can only say that perhaps what the Gemara feels is that this is a din d'rabbanan. Obviously, this din, it looks like tikkun mana or being dan es adin. And the chachamim, when they made their original takana, they made it, don't be roya, don't go and see the mum. They didn't go and specify the decision-making process, just the seeing of the mum.
They were very, very careful. I didn't see the mum. I was careful to follow the dictates of the Rabbanan. I didn't see the mum. They didn't say anything about going in the next stage or the next step. Oh, by the way, I saw it and now I decide that it's kosher or non-kosher. So therefore, it could be that they felt that that was not part of the original takana of the Rabbanan. And therefore, if Erev Yom Tov, if I'm busy, I'll tell you what my psak is tomorrow. But it would be kedai to look in the Mefarshim because it sounds like a real Eisen Akash. So unless anybody has...
The art scroll addresses this.
Oh, what does the art scroll say?
The previous Zion, Ahmed Aleph.
And what does it say?
It's divided like the mayor's ruling permitting use of blemish before slaughter, before examination, anyway shows that the expert's examination actually confers the permitted status on the animal, rather asserts that I, both Rebihuda and the mayor, agree that the expert's examination serves merely to ascertain the facts regarding the Bechor's existing status, similar to the examination for Trefa. The dispute between Rebihuda and mayor involves the less fundamental question whether the rabbi should pose a penalty on one of them. But anyway, he's saying that it was, like, basically what you're saying, there was already, he already decided, it was already seen before, the day before,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't really, that was, you know, her stock was already pretty much given over. It was just that the next day, he wanted to ascertain the facts, and so he was just sort of finishing up what he did the day before, the way I understand it. So it wasn't really that he was conferring the stock in now, he already had decided that, but he just wanted to make sure that there was no hanky-panky going on.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. Shekoyach, who does he bring this in on behalf of, or this is the art scroll speaking on his own behalf?
He doesn't bring anybody here.
Okay, so fine.
So effectively, Heter is on an Erev Yontif when the Mumcha saw it. It's only a question of, are we imposing, or the prohibition for inflicting it is the issue now on Yontif. But the Heter itself, so the Chazaka of the poor was, it was mutter for Erev Yontif when the Mumcha saw it on Erev Yontif. Now it's a question of, rabbinically, are we in those there to inhibit the person from benefiting from malfeasance?
Or stating it somewhat differently, Barry, what you're saying is correct, that apparently the psak had been formulated already from Erev Yontif based on that art scroll note, and therefore we don't have any problem with what the takana was not to go miroyim mumim, but the implementation of the validation of that balmum only took place on Yontif itself after the drisha v'chakira, after the questions were asked. However, the psak, so to speak, had already been, the ink was already dry from the day before. He had already made the decision. But now he just wants to implement it by following up with certain questions before he formally issued the psak that it is kosher. But since it had been formulated the day before, it's okay. Right?
We only have 5 minutes left.
We only have 5 minutes left.
The before is in the cheskas of Heter.
Okay.
Effectively.
Good. Excellent. So, based on that, we'll continue on to the next Mishnah. So, the next Mishnah. What happens if Behema expires, dies on Yontif? It's Mukta. Don't move it from its place. Umaisa. There was a story. They asked Reb Tarfon about a Behema that died on Yontif. And they also asked about Chala Shinitmes. Chala, which, as you know, has the same status like Truma, that became Tomei. Menichlus Lebeis HaMedrash. And he, Reb Tarfon, went to the Beis Medrash for Shaul, and he asked, Rabbi, what do I do? We got a dead carcass of an animal that died today. We had Chala that became Tomei today. They are both Mukta. The reason why the Nevela is Mukta is because it's a Noilad. It's not Noilat, it's a brand new situation of an animal that died. It was Mukhan yesterday, but now it's dead today. And the Chalish Nitmes, says Rashi, even though a Kohen is allowed to, he's not allowed to eat Chalish Nitmes, but he can go and burn the Chalish Nitmes and therefore have Hanoah from it. But you cannot do that on Yontif. Why? Because Ein Sorfin Shemin Tzreifa Biyontif, or Ein Mavarin Kodshim Tmeim Biyontif. Rashi goes through a number of gemaras, why and when, and therefore today you cannot use Chala Tmei. You can give it to the Kohen tomorrow, you can use it tomorrow after Yontif, but he can burn it, etc. So Gemara.
Since the Mishnah paskins that Nevela is usher to move on Yontif, Leimitanan stomach the lake Reb Shimon. L'choira, our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. Famous Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa, the Sanya, Reb Shimon, Oimer, Mechatchan, Sadlum, Lefnei, Behema, Vesa, Nevela, Lefnei, Akalavim. Reb Shimon says that on Yontif, you're allowed to cut up Duluan. Duluan means like large pumpkins, which involves a Tircha Yaseira to go and cut them up. These are heavy-duty pumpkins. Or you're also allowed to go and cut up a nevela. And Rashi said the nevela means that it was nisnabla on Shabbos or on Yontif itself. You're allowed to cut it up and give it to your klavim, to your animals. Oh, so you see very clearly that Reb Shimon says, even though it was nisnabla today, on Shabbos or on Yontif, you're allowed to feed it to the klavim. Not like our Mishnah. That's the Gemara's Raya Limasisin Tanan Stoma Deloi Reb Shimon. Now, how do I know that Reb Shimon is talking about Nevela that died today? Because Reb Yehuda Oimer, Imloi Hoys Nevela Me'erev Shabbos Asura. If this wasn't already a Nevela from yesterday, it's awesome. So it's Mashman. Until now, we're talking about the Nevela happened today. Says Reb Shimon, even though it happened today, I don't hold in the din of muktzah, give the nevela to the klavim. Reb Yehuda says, oh, no, we have a din of muktzah, and therefore if it was a nevela today, no good. It had to have been a nevela from yesterday. So what do you see? The Mishnah doesn't stim with Reb Shimon. Every more note, afilatim Reb Shimon. Moed Reb Shimon bebali chayim shemesu sh'asurin. Now this is a very strong, strange lashon. Bali chayim shemesu. Only Bali Chaim die. An inanimate object doesn't die. A table and a chair and a pen, we can use colloquially, we can use the expression that they died. But they don't really die, they're inanimate. So of course Bali Chaim Shemesu. So what is this Lashon? So what the Gemara really means to say, says Rashi, Bali Chaim means animals that were Briyim, that were healthy animals. Shemesu, if they died on Yontif, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's Asur. And so therefore, says Reb Shimon, when did I hold that in the Braisa, Mechatchan, Nevela, Fnei HaKlovim, says Rashi, when it was a sickly animal, it was Mesukenes Bein Hashmoshes, I knew that the time clock on this animal was very, very short, and guess what happened? It died on Yontif. So therefore, my mindset already from before Yontif is going to die, therefore you're allowed to go and cut up this Nevela on Yontif. It's like Osed Lomus Kimeiz Dami. It's as if it already died. Mashenken, but I agree. If this was a strong ox, a strong cow that everybody predicted would have a Riches Yomim, and it died suddenly, I also agree that it's awesome. And that's the case of our Mishnah, Bali Chaim Shemesu Shasurim, like Reb Tarfon Shaila, that it's awesome. According to Mar Bara Meimar, in the name of Rava, who says Taka that Reb Shimon agrees, good, so our mission go according to Reb Shimon, it's talking about such strong Bali Chaim Briyim. Elamar Berei Derav Yosem Mishmei Derav. Before it was Mar Bara Meimar Mishmei Derav. Now it's Mar Berei Derav Yosem Mishmei Derav. The Amacholikoy Reb Shimon Afilu Bali Chaim Shemesu Shemutarim. He says Reb Shimon does not distinguish between animal and animal. All animals that die on Yontif are Mutter. My Yikalameimar. So it's crystal clear that a Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. Everyone is karayit. Gumazeiri bebehemas kodshim. He says we're not talking about regular animals. We're talking about kodshim animals. I had my own private oilo or shlamim, and unfortunately it died on Yontif. What can I do with it? Rashi says if you have a kodshim that died, it's also bano utuna kvura, and you cannot be poided on Yontif. So since I can't be poided, I can't be covered. So then it's mukta. Oh, so Mish is talking about kodshim. Reb Shimon in the Brice is talking about a regular vela, regular chulin animal. But here the Mish is talking about kodshim animal. So you want to take an ami yotoni? I'll bring you a raya. Diktoni alei. It says in the Mishnah, be alachalish anitmis. Machalad the kedisha just chal is like truma. It's kodosh. At the heim of the kedisha is talking about kodshim. So Gemara Ella Taima. So now, based on what you're learning now, Pshat in the Mishnah, Taima the Kedisha, means that the Mishnah is only talking about Kodshim, and that's why it is Mokza. Hada Chulin Sharia. Smashma, however, if the identical animal was not Kodshim, but it was Chulin, then it would not be Mokza, it would be Mutter. So again, we go through the same two Mandi Amrim. Hanich Lamar Berei Derav Yosef Mishmei Derava. This is the second one that we quoted before. The Amacholik Reb Shimon Af Bali Chaim Shemesu Shemutarin. He said that Rav Shimon holds that by chulin, even if it was a strong ox of an animal, it died, it's still mutter on yontif to go and cut it up and give to the club, sharp it. So then that's good. Because our Mishnah is talking about kochim that were strong animals, but unfortunately they died suddenly on yontif. What's the din? They're muktzah because I cannot do anything with the carcass of this kochim. I cannot bury it. I cannot be poided on yontif. So it's muktzah. But if we were talking about chulin, it would daka be mutter. It looks very good. Elamar barame mishmei derav di amar moido yirme Reb Shimon the balechaim shemesu shasurin. So my ikon amemar. So ibazoi. Why does the Mishnah talk about dafka kodshim? Even chulin the halacha would be if this was a starke animal that it died. It's automatically it's muktzah. So why is the Mishnah talking about kodshim? And the chayit so about kodshim because it talks about the chalish and nitmis in the same sentence in the same breath. Our Mishnah is talking about Misukenis, that the animal in fact was one step away from its grave. It was in a very grave situation. It was almost dead. It was Misukenis. Ah, so what's the lacha? If you're talking about Chulin, this person had in mind in advance any likelihood that there's a very strong likelihood that this animal is going to die at night, in the morning, and I'm going to give it to my klavim, and therefore Reb Shimon holds, then you can feed it to the klavim. But our Mishnah, which is talking about kodshim, even though I know that it's likely that it's going to die, that doesn't change the situation, it's still kodshim. Kodshim is osir bahanah. Kodshim I have to go and bury. I cannot be poide kodshim on yontif. Therefore it says in the Mishnah that it's muktzah. Therefore the Mishnah can go according to everybody, even according to Reb Shimon. So we have, therefore, two pshatim in the Mishnah that go according to Reb Shimon, either because it's talking about, it's a shtarka behema, but it's kodshim, the animal died, it's asur. However, in the chulin, in the same situation, it would taka be mutter, like the mandiyama that holds, even by Bali Chaim, it's mutter. Or you're talking about, according to mandiyama that holds Bali Chaim, shemesu asurin, the reason why Mishnah is talking about tafka kodshim, because we're talking about misukenes, even though he knew he was going to die, well, amais, it's asur banor, it's ton kvura, no pijoin, but if it was chulin, it would be mutter. And then the final Mishnah and Gemara, very, very straightforward, says the Mishnah, you have a bunch of people that want to go and eat flesh. They want to eat basar on yontif. And they don't have any basar left from before. Remember, there was no refrigeration. And therefore, they come to the shoychet, or the butcher, the katzav. And they say to him, we would like to go and buy an animal from you today on yontif. So what our Mishnah, what our Gemara is going to tell us is, you can go and buy an animal as long as you do not talk about money. Because mekach u'memker is osur. So the Lashon of the Mishnah is a nimnan ala behemah l'chachilah b'yontif. Nimnan means that you have a bunch of people that come together, 3, 4, 5 people, and they say, we collectively want to go and buy an animal. A regular single individual could do the same, but a regular individual doesn't need a whole animal. So 4 or 5 people get together. We cannot do that. Let them get together on Erev Yontif. Let them go to the Shoichin and say, tomorrow we're going to need an animal. And go and register, so to speak, with the Shoichin. And then on Yontif morning, the Shoichin will shecht it and will give them each one their portion. If there are 5 shutfim, each one is going to get a fifth of the animal. Frank Gemara, my ein nimnin. What does that mean in the Mishnah? Ein nimnin. On Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, ein poiskin domim lechatchila ala behema biyontif. You're not allowed to go and talk about price on yontif. So if the 5 come together to the shoychet on yontif morning and they say we want to buy an animal from you and please go and shecht it for us, how much are they going to pay? We're not allowed to talk about money. Frank Gemara, the hechi of it. I mean, the butcher would be crazy to go and give it to them carte blanche without discussing something. So, what you do is take 2 animals, and you stand one next to the other. They both look identical in terms of the weight, in terms of how the animal looks, and therefore, we're going to assume that they're like identical twins. We're going to shecht one animal, because that's what they wanted, and then, matziyontav, the next day, they're going to come back, we're going to weigh the remaining twin, and we're going to say, oh, this is 2,000 pounds, you bought 2,000 pounds of animal, split it among all 5 of you equally, and this is the amount that you're going to have to go and pay. So they didn't talk about price. but they were able to have some way of assessing the value. Tanam Yochi Takarai from Abraisa, Lo Yoimer Adam Lachaber Hareni Imcha Besela. You know what? I want to go and buy a portion of this animal, I'll pay a selah's worth, like $100 worth. Or Hareni Imcha Bishtai, I'm going to buy $200 worth. That you can't do on Yont. Aba Oimeloi Hareni Imcha Lemechsel Shutta Rabia, I want to be a shutup with you. I'm going to go and buy half of the animal, quarter of the animal, third of the animal, and then you take the two animals together. Oh, Zukazoo. Shecht one, and then you determine the price the next day after Yom Tov. Rabbi Isai, it's been a pleasure. If you have any questions, please. Otherwise...